You know, I think that might have been my hallelujah moment right there. So, 20 years ago this week, actually, I packed my dorm room into Ezekiel, my 1987 white Ford Escort. I picked up my friend Todd and headed to Seattle, where a combination of family connections and luck, good or bad, I'm not sure, were going to get us jobs on a factory boat in Alaska. On the drive, we saw some amazing things. A Midwest lightning storm coming across the plains, the Badlands, Devil's Tower, Old Faithful, just to name a few. And each night, camping under the stars, I looked up, hoping for a view of the Aurora Borealis. That summer, I really, really wanted to see the Northern Lights. Thought I had a good shot of it, too. Within days of arriving in Seattle, Todd and I were on a 737 bound for Dutch Harbor, and from there a little six-seater seaplane flew us and a few other terrified guys through weather so bad and so scary that surviving it should be my hallelujah story. But it's not. We splashed down and were ferried to the Northern Victor, my home for the next 3 months. As I said, the weather was so bad, there was no aurora that night, nor the next. The day after that, the fishing season opened, and I learned just how cold it could be putting fish into boxes while standing in a wet 40-degree meat locker. Working 2 6-hour shifts a day, never really catching up on sleep, I learned how tired I could get. And being so tired that I couldn't even bother to take a shower, despite always getting covered in fish guts, I learned how smelly I could get. So I hope you'll forgive me for not looking for the aurora. Then the fishing season closed, and that first night's good sleep could also have been a story of hallelujah, but it's not, although my first shower might have been Todd's. With my newfound time, working only one 10-hour shift per day, I discovered a number of things. One, the captain wanted his boat painted. Two, the fish up there will bite anything, even a bent rusty nail. Three, the Northern Lights are not a daily occurrence, and four, overcast skies were. One day, I saw a couple shipmates catching some rays in the noon bright sun at 10 p.m., and I thought, maybe, finally, I'd get a clear night. Nope. So the days ticked by. Either I was too tired, painting the engine room, or there were heavy clouds. And then it was time to go home. The little seaplane picked us up, and by the end of the day, we were back in Seattle. And that could have been my story of hallelujah, but it's not. Faithful old Ezekiel was there, ready to take us home. But there was no sightseeing on this journey. We had less than 72 hours to get Todd back to school for his start of term. We agreed to drive in shifts without stopping. The aurora, at this point, were not even a whisper in my thoughts. So focused was I on staying awake and not crashing as we raced between Swift Current and Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. It was so lonely, I think we could easily have been the only human beings in a 50-mile radius. There was nothing, absolutely nothing, to despoil the utter natural darkness. And then I noticed a bit of dirty light on the sky ahead of me. Anywhere else, it might have been a city. And then it started to look a little green. Green. My exhaustion muddled brain chewed on that word, and then I thought, green? No. I pulled to the side of the road, killed the lights. Quietly, I stepped out of the car, tipped my head back, and saw the green waves shimmering like they had been there all this time, just waiting. Hallelujah.
So when we applaud at the end, I want us to also applaud for Julian and for Alex and for Stephanie. It's just terrific, just terrific. And also for them. Wow. Wow. So when I think of the word hallelujah, I think about a dark night years and years ago. I am a teenager, probably about 17. It's a time in my life when mortality is in the back of my brain. As far back as the possibility that one day my hairline will begin to recede, or that I'll become a dad, or slip on a robe and talk to a community full of people about the word hallelujah. Life can be so surprising, can it? So the night is very dark, and I've been with my friends all day at the beach, at the lake. And the air is still hot in my forehead and my cheeks. You know, at the end of a long day in the sun, it feels like your skin is tight and still red. What a wonderful day it has been. The weather and the water. And then, of course, there was the girl who I thought began to show me that we might be maybe more than friends. There is hallelujah enough in memories like these. You have them too. But eventually it was time to go home. And because I had not driven myself to the lake that day, and my friend who had been my ride had decided without telling me to leave early, I was standing there in the parking lot with a few others I knew less well, looking for a way to get home. And from the corner of the parking lot comes a battered Toyota Corolla, and the window slides down, and inside the back seat is the girl that I think I like more than friends, and maybe she likes me too, in the back seat with other people I don't know. And she rolls down the window and she says, "You need a ride? Carl can give you one," she says, pointing to the guy I didn't know in the driver's seat, wearing sunglasses, even though, as I said, it is a very dark night. In the back of my mind, I hear my mother's voice from childhood, "Nathan, stranger danger." "Nathan, don't ever accept a ride from a stranger." But never mind, because mortality is far away. And the girl I like is moving over for me to sit next to her. And so I open the creaking, dented, rusting door and I get in. "Sorry, Mom." And I close the door and screech go the tires across the cracked, dry parking lot. Screech goes my heart into my throat. I was a cautious kid. But Carl does not care. No, Carl, like the song from the 80s that sings, "I'm wearing sunglasses at night." Remember that song? He's got the moonroof open, and he's got the Toyota accelerator pedal pushed to the floor, and the girl I like slips her hand into mine, which helps. But when Carl creeps up past 60 miles an hour on the two-lane road, And then we watch as the red taillights in front of us become closer and closer and brighter and brighter, and I realize that Carl is not slowing down. And when instead of slowing down, he swerves to the left into oncoming traffic, horns blaring, and then back into the lane again, and then back into the left lane again, and passes one car, and then two cars, and then three cars. And then he swerves back into the right lane again. I squeeze the hand of the girl. She squeezes harder. Not with romance. Oh no. Fear. Carl, slow down, she yells. But the music's blaring, and either he doesn't hear or he doesn't care. But he ignores her, and he swerves into the shoulder now to pass yet another car, the sand and the rock left over from the winter kicking up into the grass. Is this how it happens? I remember thinking. Is this how it happens? Thinking of those kids you read about in the metro section of the paper with stories that begin, "Tragedy struck." Now, even though I was a good Catholic boy, still am, I think, actually, it had been years since I last prayed without someone telling me I had to. But now the words rise up into my mouth without any prompting. God, I say, please. Carl, says the girl, now my protector, stop. And maybe because Carl caught my eye in the rearview mirror all wild with fear, and maybe because he knew that he had gotten what he wanted, the RPMs of the Toyota slowed down and the speed dropped as the Corolla banked left into my neighborhood. The girl leans over into my ear. Can I get out with you? I nod. Which is why before Carl barely even stops, we open the dented door and leap out. Safe, mortal, intact, alive. Up until then, I had sung hallelujah 1,000 times in church. Whatever. But as Carl peeled away from the front of my house, yelling out the window into the wind, I heard myself say out loud for the first time, with all the meaning and the relief and the gratefulness and the praise that I could muster, one word: hallelujah. What did you say? The girl said. Hallelujah. So we're supposed to do a call to ministry and a benediction, but you know, their singing is ministry and benediction enough. So invite us to rise as we are able, turn and face the choir who will take us home. After which we can applaud.